Auburn Garden Stores brings your Garage Logic podcast number 1300.
Come on.
Wow,
May
2nd, really?
2024. 91 degrees on this day in 1959. They had a nice little hot streak in the spring of 1959. 24 degrees on this day in 1875 and again in 1961. You know darn well the swimming season is here any moment. Get a hold of Aquaside. They have a complete line of lake and pond control products that will take care of everything in your swimming area from weeds to algae. Aquaside products are easy to use. They work quickly, and they have met the approval of the EPA and DNR. Call Aquaside. Explain what you're looking at on your beach or your swimming hole. You know, the kind that has the tire swing over it, you know, and you want to fling yourself in there. They'll identify the weed problem. Your place will look great all summer long. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com. And Aquaside brings you the ice outs. We are really nearing the end. Oh. Today, Minnetonka went out in 1950 and 2013. And White Bear went out on this day in 1965. Tomorrow, we will be completely wrapping it up.
Mignana?
Yeah, we will be completely wrapping it up. That's all right.
Oh, you could,
that's,
that.
No, that's fine. Just, that's just good. Just
hail the flashlight, King.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Height in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
I'm a great fake smoker, and I would have been a great fake priest.
Now shut up.
Yeah. When do you want me to interrupt you again?
Wow. Wow.
I appear before you today humbled, defeated, having lost, there's no getting around it, having lost all of my NAC scale points.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. I already know. Oh, no.
I survived the caulking accident when I lost quite a few points in the caulking gun incident. I'm afraid this episode in my life lowers me to below rookie height. And Reavers, and I'm not going to mention Kenny, he probably already towered above me in NAC scale, but I now am towered over. Towered.
Towered? That's how bad it is?
By rookie, height, and Reavers. I was telling you that my car was intermittently not starting.
Mm-hmm.
I might misclutch it at a stop sign, for example, let the clutch out too soon and not be smooth enough in the transition, and she would die. And then I would attempt to start it. It would not start. I pressed the starter button. Nothing would happen. And then maybe as long as 10 seconds would pass, and she'd fire up. Hmm. No harm, no foul. Happened a few times. I thought as long as it's 5 or 10 seconds, I can put up with a ghost in the machine. It isn't that serious. Then on Sunday last, returning from a NAC-inspired errand at the hardware store, at least I was coming home from the hardware store, she died on me again at the intersection of Victoria and St. Clair. I wanted to go westbound on St. Clair. Car wouldn't start.
Mm.
I popped the clutch wrong on the corner and wouldn't start. And 10 seconds easily went by. It wouldn't start. 20 seconds, it wouldn't start. I got out and I pushed the car through the intersection.
Wow.
And nosed her westbound where there was a bit of a decline. And so the car took off on me. And I began running after it and got in just in time before I was run over myself. And I parked the car and continued to try to start it. Nothing. went home and got a battery charger, a small one.
Mm-hmm.
Brought that to the scene, put it on there, and that didn't make any difference.
Okay.
Then I went home and called a son-in-law who has a better battery charger, portable. I said, let's try that again. And went to the car, and that didn't do it.
Hmm.
So I went home and had to get on the computer and figure out how to get some roadside assistance. And I did. And it's a good thing the story turned out the way it did, because I had given roadside assistance the completely wrong address of St. Clair, and they'd still be looking for the car.
Okay.
So they said in the internet conversation, where will you leave the keys? I said, I'll leave the keys under the floor mat. So had to go back to the car. The CP gave me a ride back to the car.
Mm, so
we were on our way to the 175th celebration of the Pioneer Press.
Okay.
In which everyone looked very old. But before arriving at the 175th anniversary, I got in the car to put the keys under the floor mat, anticipating, and they never would have found the car because I had given them the wrong address.
Ooh.
And I thought, what the hell, I'll try to start it again. And of course, it started right up.
Boom.
And now I took the car home and put it in the garage, and we managed to cancel the roadside assistance.
Okay.
But I thought, well, this is it. It's going to the dealer now. So I took it to the dealer Monday.
Okay.
And I said, I explained the problem. This car intermittently refuses to start. And often it's been only 10 seconds, but Sunday, for some reason, it was 3 hours. And they said, okay, here's your loaner. Leave it with us. I called them late Monday afternoon. They said, we haven't been able to make that happen. We can't duplicate what you're telling us.
Wow.
We found an audio code. We've upgraded your radio. I said, that's not the problem.
Right.
The problem is it's intermittently not starting. Okay, leave it with us tonight. We want to know. We want to check it again in the morning. They called me again the next morning and said, we're not able to make this happen. We have gone through every possible code we can come up with. Mm-hmm. And short of tearing your engine out of the car, we don't know what to do. And even if we tore the engine out of the car, we wouldn't really necessarily know what we're looking for. You say it stops, it intermittently stops. I said, yes, it's placing me at risk. So yesterday afternoon during the show,
yep,
I received a text saying your car is ready.
Yep.
But they virtually said in that message, we were unable to duplicate the problem. I said, okay. I went out there, and on the way there, I was preparing remarks.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking,
look, it's a trial.
Well, I was preparing remarks, and when I got there, I demanded, I said, who's the boss here?
Yes.
I was being polite. I said, who's the head guy?
Yeah.
And I talked to was my service rep. Said, well, it was this guy, Greg. So I said, I'd like to see Greg. And we went into Greg's office.
Oh, no.
And I said, and I introduced myself. And I admit, I thought maybe my name would help. He didn't know me from a bale of hay. And
he name dropped himself.
I did. Because you know what I was angling for? A different car. Because, as we've all pointed out, what if this happened in the middle of a rush hour? I'm stuck on the freeway with 3 miles to the next exit.
Yeah, in the dead of winter.
In the dead of winter.
Right.
And they said, I said, what if this happens again? And they say, he was really cool, polite, and I was too. And he said, man, I don't know what we'd have to call. We'll call Subaru in at that point.
Hmm.
We'll bring them. If we have to fly them from Japan, we'll get them here. And I said, okay, you guys did everything you could. I get it. And the car was waiting for me right outside his door in the service bay. And I thanked them, and they gave me my paperwork, which absolutely no charge, of course. The car's only got – in fact, the service guy said to me, do you ever drive this thing? It's only got 1,600 miles on it. And I said, I just got it in February. And he said, okay. So I got in it to leave. Wouldn't start.
Oh, no.
I'm honking the horn. I'm celebrating.
Oh, God.
I'm saying, boys, it happened. I get out of the car. Oh, I run God. Back in. I drag the service guys out.
Oh, no.
I said, it just did it. It just did it.
Oh, no.
Service guy gets in, starts the car. Started right off the bat. Now I'll ask the question. And this is what's caused me to plummet to the depths of the next scale. I don't even exist anymore on the next scale.
You're Mariana's Trench.
That's right. What was I doing wrong, boys?
Joe, I don't have that style vehicle. I'm right with you. I don't know.
I wanted to take a stab at this when the mayor first appeared in the studio today, and he said, save it, Larry. Save it for the stage. And I said, okay. And I wrote down key fob. Your key fob was not close enough to the vehicle. You either had it in your bag in the back seat, or it wasn't close enough, is my guess.
Interesting that you say that. On the Sunday episode that was the last straw and drove me to the dealer, the first thing I had the CP do was bring me back the spare key fob because I was convinced the key fob had run out of a battery.
Okay.
Then she brought me the spare key fob. That made no difference.
I think you've had that problem with a different vehicle.
I did, and that was because if you leave a key fob in the vehicle, it communicates with the vehicle 24 hours a day.
So it drains.
So in another car, I had left it in there all winter and it drained the battery. That's not the problem.
Mm. So when you sit in your car...
I sat in my car...
You have a key fob.
And I put my foot on the stuff and pressed the button and nothing happened.
Foot goes on the brake... Hit the button and nothing happened.
Well, it's a manual transmission.
So you got to put the clutch in.
Did you not have it in neutral or park? Did you have it in?
That doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, because it stopped. Hmm. But why would it stop on the turn? You thought you were doing bad clutch.
Well, it was my every time it had failed to run. It was a result of me causing the car to fail. Causing the car to stop. Just a bad clutch transformation.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Slotting. And I went so far as to say, oh, it's a sensor switch or something, you know, gone bad.
Kenny, it is a sensor switch. That's a clue.
Oh.
Where is the shifter on the floor? Or is
yes.
It's on the floor, right? Okay. Hmm.
It's a very simple answer, which is why I deserve to be stripped of all my knack points. I don't even deserve to be your mayor.
What else could it be if it's
I wasn't pushing the clutch in all the way.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
Why? Because of your bad foot?
No, I just thought I was pushing it in on the time.
Your short little monkey leg?
in the times it wouldn't start. Now, I'm going to add a proviso. On the times it wouldn't start, those 10-second episodes, obviously I wasn't pushing the clutch in, and then I must have pushed the clutch in all the way. But I will say this in my defense. You mean in 3 hours Sunday I managed to never push the clutch in far enough?
That was my next question. Why Sunday? Didn't you push the clutch in when you tried to restart
Sunday?
And then when I
finally came back to leave him the key, I must have pushed the clutch in all the way because it started right up.
Does the clutch offer a lot of resistance? Where
it's a brand new car with a wonderful clutch, but now that I've experimented with it, I can feel that if you don't push that all the way in, you're not going to engage a receptor that says, "Oh, hey, the owner of this car just pushed the clutch in. Let's start it."
I jotted down a couple of questions with permission to approach the bench, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, why didn't you call Mike?
Mike who?
Schoonover.
Oh, I didn't.
Or has
Sunday.
He blocked your number?
No, it was Sunday. Okay. Why? There was nobody to ask anything. I went through everything.
Number two, you walked home.
No, I called.
Well, no, you walked from where you had the car was stopped. Did you?
No, I called for a ride.
You called for a ride. Okay.
Yeah.
That brings me to my third question.
Yeah.
you were on your way to the 175th anniversary of the Pioneer Press. Does this mean that you had to leave the potato salad you were supposed to bring? Was that in the back seat then of the car?
We left that at home.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's heating up in the back.
You didn't push in.
I didn't push the clutch in far enough.
You know that I like making fun. It's my number one hobby is making fun of you. I love mocking you.
Yeah.
I can't mock you for this. This is engineers over engineering or lawyers or something. They're doing it across the board on all equipment. Oh, anything God. That runs, they're doing this to. Cars, trucks, farm machinery, lawnmowers, everything. They have destroyed it. In the past, this wouldn't have been an issue. Would have come up in the past.
This is a day where I do miss taking live phone calls. Because the emails are pouring in from the Garage Logic Town Council.
Well, Kenny, to further emphasize your point, there probably was a day when the clutch was an independent entity of any other stuff. In other words, there was a day when the clutch was just the clutch, and today the clutch is hooked up to other safety regulations. Oh, and so unless the clutch meets the requirements of whatever kill switches or whatever they've attached to it, it won't start.
Yeah.
I'm trying to dig myself out of this hole.
I am not. I don't think you're guilty, and I think you're being way too hard on yourself. I've been in some pretty sticky situations with some pretty big equipment due to these safety features. Mm-hmm. That's BS. It's nonsense.
Chris emails. He is a proud member of the town council.
Yeah. I'm so mad right now, Joe.
Hey, Reavers, I am a former tech at a certain Subaru dealership and still have friends that work there. I reached out to see what was happening with Joe's car as a proud member of the Garage Logic Town Council. Well, come to find out, Joe wasn't pushing in the clutch all the way. We in the service industry would call that driver education or a loose nut behind the wheel. Use this information as you see.
Thank you very much.
That just makes me even more angry. It really does.
Really?
Yeah, it really does. I'm really upset. I was so looking forward to mocking you, and now I'm really mad.
I think I'm mockable.
You've taken that away from him.
Oof.
And as an experiment, I'll take you all down and you can do it yourself. You push the clutch in and you think you're all the way, you can get another quarter inch out of it. Another half inch.
Now you're
going to
be an expert. Now you're.
And I think that quarter inch or half inch is engaging something. Is touching something.
So now are you just pushing it to the floor?
Oh, I get her to the floor.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what? I got to go home. I am so angry. I can't continue working here. I'm so mad.
Oh,
you
God.
Know, that, this is a good. You should have Rook and I give her a shot down in the garage.
You know, and these guys at the dealership were so polite.
Right.
It was all they could do to stop from guffawing.
Well, usually it's probably elderly gals that have this issue. But what I've learned about elderly gals is they'll get out the owner's manual and they'll read it cover to cover and they'll educate themselves.
This wouldn't be in the owner's manual.
Oh, okay.
But would it? No, this wouldn't be.
I don't know. I don't read owner's manuals.
Rookie did bring up a good point. Is the clutch, is that the injured foot? Was that the...
No.
It's the other foot.
That's a good one, not the club one.
That's all been fixed.
Okay.
No, but just saying that the strength might not
have
been.
It wasn't
there.
A club foot.
It was a bunion.
Yeah.
Like Tom Dempsey.
The right foot was operated on. His heel is perfect. No, this is the clutch foot, the left foot.
Yeah, but the bunion looked like an extra toe.
Yeah. Well, it's gone now, rookie, and we don't need to worry about
it. Okay, good.
Remember the days, Joe, when you were younger and you didn't have any money and you were driving a crap can and you had to leave from a stop sign that might have been uphill and you had to work the brake, the clutch, and the throttle all at the same time? And you'd put the heel of your right foot on the brake and the toe of your right foot on the accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how we learned. That's how old guys learned to drive.
I remember the days when I had a 1929 Model A Ford. My old man one day said, let me drive this thing. And he tore around town. Well, he said, watch this. Never using the clutch. You could just slide it into various gears.
Wow.
Because apparently that's what they did.
Yep.
And here I'm not pushing the clutch in far.
I'm not blaming you. I'm not. I can't.
Man. I was really hoping it was going to be the key fob. Dang it. I was really
hoping something really stupid.
Well, again, it's funny you mentioned that because that's the first thing I went to.
It's the key fob. Yeah. Because I've had a key fob die. I mean, it's not fun.
Yeah. For the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing great information with you about Renewal by Anderson and their new Acclaim replacement windows. They've won J.D. Power Awards for this, five-star reviews for this. It's all on their website, renewalbyanderson.com. But they're the best, and they can prove it. So if you're in the market for new windows, and we all know people who have windows by Renewal by Anderson, check out Renewal's Acclaim replacement windows. Their engineering and innovation is present in every component, providing Acclaim windows with beauty, durability, and performance, not just windows, patio doors, entry doors. Renewal by Anderson, it's the best. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/garagelogic or call Renewal by Anderson at 651-705-6931.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Souchere.
Well, I want to apologize to all you GLers that have signed up with ProfessionalTurf.com with all the rain we've had.
Oh, my God.
sorry, gang. I hope that lawnmower's working out for you.
Jungle right now.
Yeah. Yes. You are going to have the best lawn on the block. You probably already do. But, yeah, the mower, that's going to get a workout. I don't know what to tell you. Well, let's turn it into a positive. That lawn, that thick, lush lawn that you're getting with these ProTurf treatments, it lasts from April, as soon as the snow is gone, all the way through late fall, November, and nary a weed in sight. These treatments take care of all the dandelions, broadleaf weeds, crabgrass, all of that crap. It's a luscious carpet of green. The process, if you haven't done it before, you click on ProfessionalTurf.com, surf around a little bit, schedule a free in-person estimate. That's where a ProTurf tech comes out, checks out your situation, designs a program just for you. It's going to be anywhere from 2 to 3 treatments throughout the summer. They come unannounced and take care of it. And it doesn't cost you anything, and it's a treatment. It's safe for the environment, of course. And those estimates don't cost you a thing. You can't go wrong. And I know you might not think it's a competition, but it is. And you'll be the proud owner of the best lawn on the block. All you have to do is click on ProfessionalTurf.com.
Not necessarily related to the current campus strife regarding protests. Hundreds of migrants, most from Africa and Venezuela, have swarmed Powell Barnett Park in Seattle. They did it Monday of this week. They quickly erected a tent encampment before issuing a list of demands they want, including free housing, food, and other needs. The park is in Seattle's Central District neighborhood. The takeover was planned by more than 200 migrants who brought in wood pallets and then put the tents on top of them. One of the migrants, Republic of Congo Central African native Don Stay, T-S-T-A-Y, to stay, told the media they plan to stay until their demands are met. So far, they haven't kicked us out, and we plan to stay until we get housing, Stay said, according to KOMO-TV. He added that the government needs to give them housing, work permits, and other freebies. Discovery Institute senior fellow Jonathan Cho noted that it seems the entire incident was choreographed because a group of far-left activists were already on hand to begin helping the migrants fulfill their demands. Stay admitted that they are being guided by activist groups but refused to tell KOMO the name of the groups. Isn't that a fine how do you do? Mm-hmm. He noted that he and his fellow migrants were kicked out of their free housing at a motel in Kent when city funding ran out and the motel owners turned out all non-paying residents. And since then, these activist groups have been planning the next moves for the evicted migrants. KOMO confronted the managers. Excuse me. I have a frog in my throat.
Yes, frog and toad.
KOMO confronted the managers of Quality Inn in Kent, but were told that no migrants had been evicted. Venezuela national Adriana Medina told Fox News that camping is very, very difficult for everyone. Even now, we don't know how much time we're going to have to camp. We don't have these answers. We can't tell anyone what we're doing because we don't know ourselves.
Well,
another migrant insisted that he and his fellow illegals are the future of America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he might be onto something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have children who were born here. They have kids who are in school here. They are the future of America, said Republic of Congo native Samuel. They're asking for support to be able to stay here. The station was also told by a migrant in the encampment that he wants the government to give him money, while another said the government needs to give him a place to live. City officials of Seattle Mayor Bruce Harwell's office insisted they were taking the demand seriously and were working with the migrants to acquiesce to their needs.
Okay.
It is not healthy nor safe to camp in a park, and we will continue to create connections to appropriate resources available, a statement read to KOMO. The left-wing activists are also attempting to elicit donations of tents, blankets, and tarps from the public.
So,
speaking of tents, one of the pictures I saw of the U of M encampment, which I believe has now been dispersed.
Yeah.
There was about 25 tents in the shot I got, the angle I shot. 21 of them were the same color.
Yeah.
Chris Eggert, yes, actually, of all people, who is not political on Twitter at all, brought this up this morning, asking why. And I informed him via text, not publicly on Twitter, why, and then wished him good luck. And boy, did that tweet explode, yeah, with the political points of view from both sides.
Well, it was good.
This Powell Park, though, this Powell Barnett Park in Seattle, it has a wading pool.
Really?
How do you?
I bet that'll be heavily used.
Gross.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah, and then another thing I noticed this morning, reading a website called The Hill, there's a fellow that works for MSNBC named Scarborough.
Sure.
Is that true? I don't.
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah.
Joe?
He's the morning guy, yeah.
He says, evidently he said this on the air, MSNBC viewers too stupid to see the campus protests are helping Trump and should change the channel when they see these protests being held around the country. And I thought that was an interesting take. So, and I think he's right, isn't he? They've got to be helping Trump.
I think so.
Kenny,
I think so, yes.
I'm glad you mentioned this tweet because I completely missed it. How could anyone see what Chris wrote on social media and run with it from one political side to the other?
Chris,
tweet Kenny was just mentioning.
Everything is political,
that's
Chris.
That's true.
Let's turn to Northfield, where they have a failed academy.
Couple.
And our correspondent who emailed us yesterday commenting on the girth of some of the protesters.
Yes.
Well, this is dated yesterday, so what? Okay, I strolled through the Carleton campus to compare the activities with St. Olaf. Absolutely nothing going on. I did, however, observe a poster promoting a demonstration on Bridge Square in downtown Northfield. It made me angry and upset to read the poster, and I tried to investigate this group. It's called Nakba. Nakba is a term used by Hamas terrorists and their supporters to describe the creation of Israel. And then it was njpmn.org. This is a well-financed operation that has a veneer of well-meaning citizens who just want peace and love in the Middle East. But it's a charade. I can't offer any proof, but it's my gut feeling that they are funded by CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, Soros, and other evildoers who funded the BLM and Antifa riots. I'm not sure how to fight back against this group. Very little I can do alone, but I did send the following message to the Northfield City Council. I have noticed a few flyers around town from a group called Northfielders for Justice in Palestine / Israel. They intend to hold a demonstration on Bridge Square at 1 p.m. on May 11. Bridge Square is owned by the taxpayers of the city of Northfield. It is my understanding that public property such as Bridge Square is not to be used for political demonstrations or by front groups for political organizations. Among their demands, the NJP wants you, the city council, to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. As you must know, the war in Gaza would end tomorrow if Hamas surrendered, gave up their terrorist aims, and released all of the Israeli hostages, if any of them are still alive, which seems unlikely at this point. But calling for a ceasefire means Hamas would gain time to regroup and rearm themselves with the intention of committing more atrocities against the Israeli citizens. I have some additional questions for you. Did the city council officially authorize the demonstration by NJP? 2, if so, why? It would be okay with me if they did whatever they want on private property, but to hold such a demonstration on public property is tantamount to an endorsement by the city of Northfield. 3, will you as a council vote for some sort of nebulous declaration promoting a ceasefire in Gaza so that Hamas may exist for another day in order to kill more Jews? Or will you restrict yourself to taking care of the city of Northfield and its needs, not expecting any result from the city council? Please forward this to John Hinderacher at the Center of the American Experiment. I'm sure he would like to know what's happening in the city where one of his kids attended college. Well, correspondent from Northfield, one of my kids attended school there.
I'm guessing he knows, Hinderacher knows what's up.
And I'm think that's a responsible GL-type citizen there. At least getting to the city council with his documentation saying, what's going on here? What's going on? Right?
The proof is in the pudding.
Now, getting back to the U of M from Ted in Maiden Rock, a lovely little burg on the western side of Wisconsin down the river.
Okay.
The U of M campus police should demand the protesters provide a current U of M student ID and a fee statement for this quarter at the U of M. Those that can't provide this are considered non-students and charged with trespassing. Once these trespassers are removed, there won't be 25 legitimate U of M students left protesting.
Good point.
Now, if you're of a mind to say that smacks of demanding to see your papers, and we're a free society and we have the right to free speech, it's not free, and I don't think the U of M people have destroyed anything yet, to my knowledge.
I don't think so.
But at UCLA and at Berkeley and at Columbia, destruction of property is not free speech. It's a criminal act.
Right.
It's not free speech. So maybe not here, but at Columbia that would be a good idea.
Yep.
Let's see your
UCLA.
Let me see your student ID and your fee statement.
Austin, Texas. Let's go.
And this one says, this is from Howard. At the risk of provoking a reenactment of the scene in Animal House where Otter is defending the United States, I offer the attached. I find the link story to be a ray of hope if we ever needed one. We have a clashing of ideals, one voluminous in its derangement and the other steeped in 250 years of blood and sacrifice, trial and error, but rooted in the idea of justice for all. We had protesters at the University of North Carolina in Durham. You aware of that?
Yep.
And some frat boys took down the Palestinian flag and
put up
the American flag and then circled the flag stand. The protesters committed to the revision of history are sociopathic, and their method is simple. Repeat the lie until it becomes the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a time where people are encouraged to tell their truth instead of the truth. Stop. Where have you heard that most recently?
From Say it again.
Well, there's not really a truth. It's your truth.
Oh, the gal from
the new CEO of NPR,
yes.
Who ought to be canned today. And the thinking and behavior of these protesters exemplifies it. You can read the details for yourself, but the bottom line is these frat boys were having none of it. They stood up to the nonsense and said enough. So a couple of items for Positive Thursday. You never know where the good guys will show up, but when they do, it's gratifying. Someone still believes in who we are as Americans. I was going to add another positive item, that the fact that a GoFundMe was set up to pay for a rager, but I'm not sure I can fake my comments that far. We all need to decide ourselves whether or not that's a positive thing, Howard.
Do you have the monetary figure that the gentlemen have raised through that GoFundMe?
No, and who has the story in front of them?
I do.
Fill us in.
So the frat boys we're talking about are the ones that raised the flag.
This is at University of North Carolina.
Chapel Hill.
Been there many times. One of the loveliest campuses I've ever been on.
In just one day, the boys are closing in on $300,000 that they have raised for them to throw a rager, including a donation from billionaire Bill Ackman of $10,000. Quote from the crew.
Stop. What do they need money for? Were they arrested?
I don't think so.
No, to have a party.
No.
Were they arrested for putting up the American?
No,
no,
well,
no.
What's the GoFundMe for? They have no legal expenses.
To have a rager.
Just to have fun?
Just to have a party.
To reward them, perhaps.
I bet, though, knowing their character in this, to this degree, they'll probably donate the money.
Yeah,
no,
somebody.
They'll take it.
No, somebody's mom is going to step in and say, wait a minute,
boys.
Kid. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's the quote. Quote from the crew. We are overwhelmed by you glorious, patriotic Americans who value good beer and good times.
That's Otter, yes. Baby. He's we, going yeah. Otter.
We are in contact with multiple leaders from fraternities whose members help defend the flag, including Alpha, Epsilon, Pi, and others, in addition to Pi, Kappa, Psi. An update on the page read on the GoFundMe account.
This is going to turn every American around regarding fraternities. Aren't these boys
I've pulled a 180.
Wonderful?
Yes, I've pulled a 180.
Aren't these boys wonderful? Now we need a Southern sorority to do it.
They could hire Van Halen to play the party.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny and I mentioned this yesterday.
Kid Rock.
But yeah. Someone did do, yikes. I don't know if it's a cartoon or an AI imagery, Kenny, of the Iwo Jima thing, pose with these five guys in their popped collars and their khaki shorts. It was,
okay,
it
wait
was
a minute
pretty
now.
Funny.
Hold up.
Hey,
hold up. I think this is happening at more than just one campus. I think this happened at either USC or UCLA, but it should be happening everywhere. You know, the cliche would be the guys from the football team.
Sure.
Okay, it doesn't have to be the guys from the football team. It can be guys from the science lab or the English department. They don't hate America. All the people who don't hate this country and have not been poisoned by the sickness in the failed academy, the sickness of hatred and despondency, the sickness for the founding of this country, this sickness for equity and inclusion, this sickness for colonialization and imperialism, none of which is apropos to what's happening in America right now. All those people should be reacting. It would have been one of the country's greatest ray of hopes to see all these protests nipped in the bud.
Oh, man.
Just thrown to the ground.
Boy, wouldn't it be great if we found out all the various places that were included with the donations. In other words, if we were able to find all the various links, for instance, if it's some type of outlet, they will be flooded with, well, we'd like to donate to this cause as well.
We're not going to play it because the audio is not fit for broadcast, but what was the audio you had for us before the show about, was it a gay protester being confronted?
It was a pro-Palestinian LGBTQ protester in which a woman confronted this person
and
saying,
said, do you realize you will die in Palestine? Right. Do you realize that?
She said, quote, they will throw you off a bleeping bridge.
Right.
Or building.
Didn't seem to affect this gal, did it?
Yeah,
she's
don't.
Not thinking that far ahead.
I don't know what school that took place, but she's 100% right.
The precision garage door opener is near. We're now getting indications via meteorological developments that it could be tomorrow. It's got to be in the 70s. Got to hit 70. Make sure your garage door and the opener is in top working condition with Precision Garage Door Service. Book online at Precision Door MN or call them at 612-263-6985.
I'm rolling.
John. I was raised on robbery.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Soucheray.
What am I doing? Welter?
I think so.
Well, Welter's going to keep your house nice and toasty warm in the winter, and you're going to feel that cool breeze in the summer when it gets super hot. But if your furnace or your air conditioning unit is not working properly, that won't be the case. Well, backing themselves up with 120 years of experience in four generations, they're certified technicians that come out to your home and either tune up your AC unit or your heating unit, or maybe shut it down for the season. They are certified. They have changed with the times over the past 120 years, and they're going to be in and out in no time. Why is that? That's because Rick Welter's at the helm, and he loves Garage Logic, so all of his techs our garage logicians. They're full of common sense. They'll help you out on their website at welterheating.com. Click on the blog icon, and you may have your question answered right there for free. It's just that simple. You want to talk to a human being during business hours, you pick up the phone and dial 612-825-6867. During business hours, it is manned by a human being. I will, and that's good. That's good because you can talk to them right away and tell them what your problem is. Make an appointment. Welterheating.com for over 120 years. Air condition or heat your shelter with the fine folks at Ray and Welter.
Here's John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This update brought to you by a North American banking company. The encampment at the University of Minnesota campus packed up after protesters reached an agreement with the university. After protesters with the student coalition leave, all get out of there, the closed buildings around the Northrop Mall did reopen. The student coalition also said they will not organize disruptions at upcoming finals and commencements. The interim president at the U, Jeff Ettinger, says while there's more work to do and conversations are still planned with other student groups affected by the situation in Palestine, I am heartened by today's progress. As part of the agreement, members of the student coalition will meet with the Board of Regents on May 10th. A member of the student coalition told our friends at 5 Eyewitness News this morning that protesters are happy to now have a seat at the table.
I don't think the five of us would make good presidents of universities. You know why?
I wouldn't.
I'd like to see you as the president. Mr. President, here's the list of our demands.
I could tell them where to put it.
Go there and is, believe yourself. Yeah.
The statement that they said to the protesters last evening is on Channel 5's website if you're interested in seeing that. It's kind of interesting to read because, like Chris said, I'm not sure that we'd all, you know, give all these concessions. Oh. And I don't know. Maybe they aren't concessions, but they're certainly there's something. Let's put it that way.
How many kids are being put through school by their parents whose savings are invested maybe in an S&P 500 fund, which is 500 stocks, and then it would be virtually, well, you could find out, but how many of the 500 stocks in an S&P fund, for example, are invested in Israeli concerns?
Oh, that's a great question.
And all yeah. these idiots, because this is the dumbest group of college students I've ever seen in yeah. my life. These are the dumbest kids. It's because they're sick. They're not getting anything from the failed academy except sickness. Mm-hmm. So anyway, how many of these blowhards, they got to get to Edina though Saturday because they got a $300 haircut reservation. How many dollars of their parents that they're wasting are invested in companies that do business with Israel?
That's a great question.
Many.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Did you see the photo of the UCLA campus after those students were ushered out?
No.
Was it like Woodstock?
It looks exactly like the end of Woodstock.
Trash.
There's a comment that said, but we got to ban plastic straws in California.
Isn't that something?
Got it.
Isn't these hypocrites have been so destroyed? Oh, my God. Go ahead, John.
Two emergency managers with the state of Minnesota have left their leadership positions at the Department of Public Safety. This all happened after our friends at Five Investigates at KSTP raised questions about a telework agreement that allowed one of them to work full-time from home on the East Coast.
The best investigative reporters in the Twin Cities right now are Jay Coles and Eric Rasmussen from KSTP. The newspapers aren't doing this. This moron 911 lady from Minneapolis lives in Virginia and is getting paid.
That's the story. I might as well not read it now.
No, you go ahead. You'll do it calmer than I will.
Wait, I think I might be a fan of hers. Wait a second.
Kenny would like to get to meet her.
Yeah.
Sandy Stroud quit her six-figure job. Six-figure
six
job.
Six figures.
As Minnesota's 911 program manager last week, 8 months after she had packed up and moved to Virginia Beach. Stroud's not accused of violating these state policies because her plan to work more than 1,300 miles from the office was approved by Dana Wahlberg, former director of Minnesota's Emergency Communication Networks, a division of DPS.
Well, who's that idiot?
Wahlberg,
Dana, you're an idiot.
Yep.
Wahlberg announced her retirement in March as other leaders raised questions about her decision to approve Stroud's telework agreement. Neither woman agreed to interview requests from the folks at Five Investigates, but some state and local leaders say the arrangement raises larger questions about where and when state employees should be allowed to work remotely outside of Minnesota. Part of this story is kind of interesting. In Iowa, you have to be able to get to an office if you're called in. Within a certain time frame, in Minnesota, you couldn't, obviously, from Virginia Beach.
John, two things. Give me the Virginia Beach's woman's title again.
She was Minnesota's 911 program manager.
And the woman who approved her move to Virginia, what was her title?
The former director of Minnesota's Emergency Communications Network, which is a division of the Department of Public Safety.
Can you imagine how much money is just lost in translation?
Yeah.
It's just lost. We have no idea. And with the crew running the state now, there is no impetus whatsoever to get a handle on the spoilage and the unknowns,
the fraud.
I
don't understand you. What do you mean lost in translation? Explain that to me.
Well, I just use that as a phrase. Lost in the shuffle.
Okay.
The money lost in a shuffle.
Okay.
May I ask a question about that? Go ahead, Ken. Go ahead.
Well, didn't we also have a librarian that was running the show from San
California.
Diego?
California.
San Diego.
Hennepin County librarian.
Yeah.
Well, my question was going to be, this isn't someone who was actively answering the phones. This was a director, correct?
Right.
The boss.
Well, but here's my question. Was this... I can't believe I'm defending them. This isn't a cost-saving measure where she's doing this for a number of agencies but being paid one sum.
No.
She's just employed.
What are you, nuts?
I'm just asking a question, trying to play devil's advocate.
She's a freeloader who moved to Virginia.
Okay. She's a hard worker.
Oh,
and maybe it was like me, where during COVID, they sent me home and gave me the equipment to work from home there in South Minneapolis. And then at some point, without telling them,
I sold
my house and I moved up here.
There you go. We never saw him again.
Classic. And so yesterday I got a hold of our boss after the show and I said, we need to meet. So he's coming up here tomorrow to meet with his employee.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's either that or send the plane. You know, what's cheaper?
I wonder if I could call him and ask. Yeah. Dan, come on up. I'll give you a beer. Come on up.
Did she retire when she moved to Virginia? No.
No, she didn't retire. Her boss did. The boss that okayed it retired.
Just like Heather Mueller retired, conveniently enough, from the Department of Education when it came time to answer food fraud questions.
Joe, her work was done.
God help us in this state.
I'm sorry.
You're getting pretty worked up.
I can't believe you remember her name.
I always count on you.
I know, pretty good.
You're cranky. I'm in favor of this gal. She rocks.
I'm not cranky. I'm clutchy.
There was a story, now that you mention it.
Mr. Clutch.
You guys, I think John had this, because I know Mike Fredoloni and I talked about this on the Weekly Scramble, but wasn't there a woman 2 years ago that was basically busted for having five different work-from-home jobs? Do you guys remember that story?
I don't.
Okay, so it was just Mike and I that discussed it. But she said, I was collecting 5-6 paychecks working from home for 5 different companies.
We have no idea of where our money goes.
Nope.
We do get the once a year story of the guy in Brazil or whatever who's been paid for 20 years, but he's been sitting at home. He's never gone into work. They just keep sending him checks. So.
Absolutely genius.
That's like the two guys that own an NBA franchise that doesn't exist, and they get paid millions a year. One of my favorite sports stories in all of history.
Wasn't it the Seals?
No. They owned an ABA team. And when the league merged, the league didn't want their particular team, but they said, basically, they said, well, hold up here. Wait a minute. Something ain't right. You're going to still pay us.
We'll take a percentage.
NBA's paying them.
We'll take a percentage.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
A new long-promised second daily rail connection between the Twin Cities and Chicago will start operations this month. It'll happen on May 21st. The Borealis service will operate daily between the two major metro areas, making 11 stops along the way, including Red Wing, Winona, Wisconsin Dells, Milwaukee, and more. At 7 hours and 24 minutes, it's about 27 to 31 minutes quicker than the Empire Builder sleeper train, which up until May 21st was the only previous rail connection between the two cities, stopping in St. Paul on its long trip between Chicago and the Seattle-Portland area. This will also offer more convenient times for travelers, particularly those departing Chicago. Currently, the Empire Builder leaves Chicago at 3:05 in the afternoon, gets into St. Paul's Union Station just before 11 at night. The Borealis will leave Chicago at 11:05 in the morning, arrive in St. Paul at about 6:29. Going from the Twin Cities to Chicago, the Empire Builder currently leaves at 8:50 in the morning, gets there at 4:45. The Borealis will leave at 11:50 in the morning and arrive at 7:14 early evening.
All right, this story is from Forbes.com, dated January 7th, 2014. The NBA finally puts an end to the greatest sports deal of all time. Ozzie and Daniel Silna, two brothers who own the Spirits of St. Louis, the ABA team which Joe referenced, the greatest deal of all time. They signed for fees from their NBA's TV contract, which ended up since 1976 to be an estimated $300 million. Wow. The NBA has wanted to somehow end their sweet deal, and it looks like with an upfront payment of a cool $500 million or so, they'll finally get their wish. So that's $800 million.
I have a parade for them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think they finally settled it because didn't one of the brothers pass away?
Well, this was 2014, so I don't...
I think that's why. I remember Patrick talking about it for some reason.
What a great deal.
Yeah.
$800 million.
Remember, the Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla.
So isn't it July 1st? Is Bobby Bonilla Day every year?
Yep. We retired, about 15 years ago?
Yeah. What a great scam.
Why don't we take a short break here and hear from Mr. Reavers.
Thank you, Johnny. Your news, as always, is brought to you by North American Banking Company. When your business is looking to capitalize on an opportunity or to solve a problem, then you should turn to the experts and my friends at North American Banking Company. They understand that there is no shortage of banking options here in the Twin Cities. So if you're tired of just being a number to your big national bank, then check them out online, nabankco.com. You can go there online to learn more. They invest in the people, businesses, and organizations that make the Twin Cities a great place to live. 6 locations to serve you. My location's in Roseville. You can also see them at 50th in France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but you are going to get the unparalleled service of a community bank. They are locally owned and operated. Here's why that's a big deal. Loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities, not sent out of state. And this helps business owners solve problems quickly and expand their business with confidence. NABankCo.com to learn more. It's banking done differently. North American Banking Company member FDIC is an equal housing lender.
The Fender Bender Mender himself, Mike Schoonover, on the horn with us because I don't know if you know this or not. On Thursdays at GL, it's Positive Thursday. We've been being positive today, if you can't tell. Mike runs Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care. They're in Shoreview, 1060 County Road E. Pretty much anything you need related to auto care can be had at Schoonover's. Mike, I tempted karma a few weeks ago. I took the plow off the plow truck. Is it time to take the snow tires off? Can we finally do that now, please?
Kenny, I think that would be safe to do. I think Joe would be safe to do that as well. I don't think we have snow in the forecast. So,
thank goodness.
Lot of rain. But, yeah, we can take those snow tires off and start getting the buggy ready for summer.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the rain, because tires play a role in traction in the rain, and I've been seeing a lot of wrecks the last 5-7 days on cloverleafs and curves and whatnot, and I've got to believe some of it's due to just plain old bad tires, right?
Yeah, you know, we get so busy with our lives that we forget about the vehicle maintenance, you know, oil changes and that type of thing. But the tires are probably that's your most important safety equipment that you got on the tires, because, or on the car, because whether it be snow or summer, you're going to run into either the rain or the snow. So, during the winter and summer. So, yeah, I totally agree with you there, Kenny, that tires play an important role.
You know what? I'm at the age now where I cheat. And I drive a truck, and I have the option in the truck of two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive high. And in the summer, I'll keep it in two-wheel drive unless it's raining. And then that's where old man Kenny steps in and says, let's just put it in four-wheel drive and take it easy. Is that, that's good advice, isn't it?
Well, whatever gives you the most, the security and the sense of being safe, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all, you know. But just so long as folks don't say, well, if I lock it into four-wheel high,
okay,
I can drive faster.
Okay.
You know, there's always that. So,
are you reading my mind? Because I'm thinking that way I can keep my foot down around the Brooklyn Center curve. I don't have to slow down at all.
Come on, Kenny, let's not do that.
Let's behave ourselves, especially in the rain. Increase your following distance a little. Just ease up that death grip on the steering wheel. Don't tailgate, and just slow down a little bit, and we won't see as many crashes as we've been seeing in the rain here for the last week or so. What say ye?
Yeah, you know, we can handle both, but I think it takes less time and less money and less aggravation. If you just put, you know, fresh tires on versus driving with the regular tires and getting in a wreck.
I know a place you can get those tires and that oil change. You can get your glass replaced if it's bad. Get that fender bender, I don't know what I'm saying. What I am saying, you know what, Schoonover Body Works, they can do it all. That's what I'm trying to say, Mike. Gee whiz, what a disaster. The official body shop of Garage Logic. You guys have been around since 1938, after all, and that's why you're always rated as one of the Metro top shops, SchoonoverBodyWorks.com. Sorry about this, Mike. I hope you'll come back next week.
No, Kenny, you do a great job.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
In national and international news stories, top U.S. diplomat Anthony Blinken has urged Hamas to accept a Gaza truce plan despite an Israeli warning the army will keep fighting the Palestinian militant group after any ceasefire. Mediators have proposed a truce deal that would halt fighting for 40 days and exchange dozens of hostages for more Palestinian prisoners. Hamas has said it will respond within a very short period to the proposal. Blinken said Hamas needs to say yes, needs to get this done. He also added, if Hamas actually purports to care about the Palestinian people and wants to see an immediate alleviation of their suffering, it should take this deal. Marjorie Taylor Greene said yesterday she will call up the vote next week to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson, setting up a high-stakes clash inside her own party. Greene's move is unlikely to succeed, but still is certain to make some more internal GOP tension. As she continues to target Johnson, the most powerful elected Republican in the country. Of course, as we know, the lower chamber has already seen the ouster of its last Republican speaker, former Representative Kevin McCarthy. Finding a replacement for him took 3 weeks amid significant GOP infighting.
Someone needs to take the keys away from Marjorie.
Marjorie's got to go.
We got to stop asking her
questions.
She's
not doing the party any favors.
She's an idiot, that's why. Yep.
According to numerous sources, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration will move to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. That, if it happens, would be a historic shift to generations of American drug policy that could have wide ripple effects across the country. The proposal, which still has to be reviewed by the White House Office of Management and Budget, would recognize the medical uses of cannabis and acknowledge it has less potential for abuse than some of the nation's more dangerous drugs like heroin.
Johnny, thank you.
Yes, sir.
You got a little story you wanted to tell me?
I have some news, too. Hopefully, yeah? Just before yours, Johnny, I want to help some GLers out. If you're coming in the future here through July 1st to Minneapolis, do not use westbound 94 during the daytime hours. It jammed up. It's a single lane at Highway 95. Westbound 94, so as soon as you get over the St. Croix River Bridge, it's down to a single lane. It jammed up at 6:15 this morning, and it is still jammed past U.S. 12 in Hudson.
What?
Jeez. Yeah, and it's 1:15 now as we record this. And this single lane zone on westbound 94 will be in place until July 1st. So if you're coming to Minnesota anytime before July 1st, do not use westbound 94. At least during the daytime hours. Overnights, you'll be fine. That's all.
Cool car story. Well, I think it is anyway. Not unusual for cars to be handed down in the family. My first car was a 1966 Ford Fairlane that my parents gave me after they bought a new car. I'm sure that's happened for many of us. How about this one? For the Collins family in Redding, California, a green 1928 Chrysler Coupe has been passed down for 96 years.
Wow.
So it's been in the same family for 96 years. It's owned by Daniel Collins, the owner of a vintage sports shop called The Locker Room. The original owner was Daniel's great-grandfather's uncle, who bought it brand new and didn't drive it much. He ended up giving it to another uncle, then finally to Daniel's grandfather, who made good use of the vehicle. And then it ended up with Daniel's dad. Then it ended up with Daniel. The photo shows Daniel when he was just 5 years old as a ring bearer at a family wedding. It shows three generations of Collins's in tuxedos. It's in great condition body-wise, but it still needs a few adjustments for running. It was running as close as 6 months ago when it was in his grandfather's possession. It was supposed to be maintained during the time, but Daniel's grandparents got busy with moving. Daniel says he wants to make sure he gets it fixed up so that he can drive it in the city's big parade next year. As for now, he has it parked in his store, The Locker Room, so people can come look at it.
Give me the car. Give me the car again.
1929 Chrysler Coupe.
Very nice.
And I believe you missed a big chunk of the story, but the first time he had to take it in for repair, he wasn't pushing in the clutch all the way.
Whoops.
Boy, that's tough, isn't it? Turn it on you quick, don't they, Joe?
Boy. Joe, do you have anything like that? Not a car, but anything like that in your family that you've passed down from your grandpa or your great-grandpa down to your kid or grandkid?
Well, I haven't given it away yet, but the garage wood, two blocks of garage wood have family connections going back to 1904.
Cool.
Wow.
Mm. Huh. Neat.
How big is it? How big is
How
it
big
anyway?
Is it anyway? It's a block of garage wood. It's gotcha. Just a perfect block of garage wood.
Boy, I bet somebody's stained, really going to be happy to get that, huh?
Stained by generations.
Instead of some gold bars, here's some garage wood, Junior. Jeez,
I didn't mean for this to turn into a mocking thing.
Tell
I'm
me
sorry.
You've seen, though, the revelation that there was a viral video that surfaced on.
Boy, I wanted to get going.
I know. A year ago.
I got to read.
But it's the moment Dad realizes that piece of wood he's been hanging on to is useful. He springs into action. Yeah. He goes, I have a piece of wood just that size. And he runs
They're
down
to the on a bed or something like that. Yes.
It's great. Hilarious. It's very funny. Hi, how are you?
Look at that. Escargot.
A lawnmower. The old man passed his riding lawnmower to me. And I passed it to Paul, but he killed it.
Oh.
He couldn't. So he pulled it out on the ice.
It ran into the ground.
Couldn't hit the clutch on that one.
Roy's given you about five lawnmowers that he's passed down.
I've got my great grandpa's anvil, a Peter Wright anvil.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
I bet one of my cousins has it, but my dad's mom, I've told you guys this before, had a card shuffler.
That'd be your grandma.
An ancient card shuffler. I would love to have had that. I hope one of my cousins has it. I bet they do.
Yeah, Gabe and I went over to Royce's to pick up a lawnmower one time, and it just doesn't work. What's wrong? Said, I don't know. Gabe brought it home. Gabe had it running in about three and a half minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
he
Matthew.
He was out of gas.
Is there anything that Bob has given you that you're going to pass down to your kids?
Spare wooden leg.
I was
like
going to get his leg. I wanted to stuff his leg, but they wouldn't let me. Yeah, I'll probably get a lifetime supply of self tanner.
A business note before we break. A business note that can tell you once again, A, how poorly we're led, and B, we have no idea of the money we're spending. Ted Becker writes this, Joe, the Democrats decided to spend $500 million for renovations and an additional 166,000 square feet of office space. For around $90 million, based on tax-assessed values, they could buy 1.7 million square feet of office space and parking ramps in downtown St. Paul.
Wow.
Remember we had the story yesterday, the guy clearing out his building?
Yep. Madison, yeah.
For $90 million, you could get all of that space, all of that parking, but no, these frauds that we've elected want their own palace.
Wait, $90 million is the number he arrived at for the Madison Equities?
Okay. Yeah. Huh. Isn't that something?
That's incredible.
That's
something.
That's a good point.
We'll be right back.
After we hear about Bachman's.
Bachman's, of course. You want to go to Bachman's.com, B-A-C-H-M-A-N-S.com. I probably don't even have to spell that because everybody knows the name Bachman's. They've been around since 1885, and they have quite the history. In fact, I invite you to go to their website, Bachman's.com, and click on history, and you'll learn how they became so successful. And they're always they pay a lot of attention to the community. And right now, they want your yard to look good. So if you need to assess some landscape needs, figure it all out, you can go to Bachman's or go online to Bachman's or go into the store. Take control of your outdoors. Show it who is the boss. And you got Bachman's right by your side. This week, they're diving deep into the grit of spring cleanup, transforming your landscape into an oasis for the rest of the season. You want to add some curb appeal and value? A well-maintained landscape isn't just for looks. It's a statement of your commitment to excellence, boasting your home's value. And plus, it's neat to look at when the yard looks great. And they're here at Bachman's. Each Bachman's location, they're in Minneapolis, Apple Valley, Eden Prairie, Plymouth, Fridley, Maplewood, and Cedar Acres, Lakeville. So they're close to your home. They've got horticulturists on staff to help tackle your questions and needs. Winter damage, crabgrass, seeding, mulch, they got it all. Garden workshops, go to Bachman's.com. 15% off pallets of mulch, and they'll easily deliver it to your home. 20% off hybrid roses. We welcome Bachman's to the Garage Logic family. They've been around for a while, and if you go in there and make a purchase, it's not just flowers. It's so much more than that. Go to their website, Bachman's.com, but when you make a purchase, make them note that you heard it on Garage Logic.
Let's wrap it up here, Sushiray.
Yeah, let's go. I was certain I was going to do that again.
Where is she?
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life, Joe Soucheray.
Only because they come to us.
Where are they going?
Via Renewal by Anderson for the best windows anywhere. Only because they come to us all the way. Let's see now. Have we moved out of Apache Junction?
They were on the run.
Well, I'll be damned. Come they on. Are in West Los Angeles, California. Well, visiting Jessica's sister and cousins.
Protesting at UCLA.
They're at UCLA. The traveling Lymans have moved on to West LA. On this day.
Joe, today is May 2nd.
In 1670.
Wow.
The Hudson's Bay Company was chartered in London. The company's territory was the Hudson Bay watershed, but no post would be established in present-day Minnesota until a century later. And the Northwest, XY, and American fur companies would play a larger role in the region's fur trade. On this day,
May 2nd,
in 1878, an explosion at the Washburn A. flour mill in Minneapolis killed 18 workers. Studies showed that flour dust was highly explosive, and the company began replacing millstones with rollers, which reduced the fire hazard and revolutionized the flour industry.
Wow.
See how industry works there? It took the loss of 18 lives to create another advancement in technology.
We need to make a better mill.
Yeah. On this day,
5-2
in 1903, and wouldn't it be fun to own this, automobile license number one was issued for a Packard owned by R.C. Wright of St. Paul. Wouldn't that be a pleasant...
I wonder what R.C. Wright did to afford that.
Packards were expensive.
Right.
On this day...
May 2nd.
Right.
In 1976, sports-related... Always turn to Reavers for that.
It was Hank, something Hank Aaron related.
Nope.
Bicentennial.
It's in the book, Once There Was a Ballpark.
Is that about the Metronome? May 2nd,
that was more of a pamphlet than a book, though.
Yeah.
That was like an insert you get in your church bulletin.
Is this when... oh, my goodness.
A baseball game was canceled at Metropolitan Stadium due to snow. The latest snow out in Twins history.
Wow. That made the book?
They had an accumulation of 1 inch. Hey, or, Matt, the book was about the weather stuff.
Oh. Aren't we coming up on the anniversary of Disco Demolition?
That's deep into the summer.
When it was hot.
On this day,
May 2nd,
in 1986, the Steiger International Polar Expedition, led by Will Steiger and Paul Shirkey of Ely, reached the North Pole, and team member Anne Bancroft of St. Paul was the first woman to cross the Arctic to the pole.
What year did Will come on the show and convince you of climate change with the ice at the fair?
In the 90s.
What year was that item you just read, Joe?
1986.
I was working with Yates, and I played Will Steiger on the phone calling from the outside of a 7-Eleven. His mom called in about 30 minutes later and said, I don't think there's any phones where Will is.
Most of Steiger's... Most of Steiger's family are GLers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Not Will. He's consumed the Kool-Aid.
You guys mock him, but he's the last great American mountain man. He truly is a badass when it comes to outdoor activities. He really is.
But he's also a lefty that has fun with it.
Yeah, he's all
doesn't right. take himself like Wellstone doesn't take himself overly. He doesn't hate you.
No. Neither did Wellstone.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Neither did Dayton.
Correct.
These modern ones, they're hateful.
Right. Yeah. They won't even come on.
They don't like people.
Right.
On this day.
May 2nd.
In 1992, Nobel laureate Rigoberta Menchú of Guatemala visited the Twin Cities as a guest of the Minneapolis American Indian Center. I can't believe that made this day in history, but it did.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, it really is, John.
Let's throw this in here.
Is that the final one?
That's it.
Yes, that's the final one. Hmm. Yes, John.
What?
Oh, let's throw this in here. I get it. Let's throw the Ecuadorian Nobel laureate.
Let's wrap this up.
Playing golf.
Thank you.
I got to write.
Hey, Gio, it's time to go back to the promo book. Thank you, by the way, for all of you that signed up for the Target Field Takeover 1 week from today. Can't wait. Can't get enough of Garage Logic? Well, then you should join the thousands of GLers who have found us on YouTube. All you got to do, you just search for Garage Logic Podcast and subscribe. It's free, by the way. And it's nearly daily content, including behind-the-scenes content, full segments, and video shorts. That's Garage Logic Podcast, and you can find it right there on the YouTubes.